Yes, we're going to dash right into it today, comrades. This is Freedom Frenzy. My name's Jerry DeMars, and somewhere out there, Jenny Hodges is sitting with a headset atop her head. And I think you said you were at the state capitol a little bit earlier, didn't you?
Yes, Jerry, I am here, and I'm sitting in Representative Bobby Franklin's office in the Georgia Capitol, where the throngs of David Ralston, Speaker of the House's whores, are gathered, and I get to be next to the only man with a pair down here. I believe that I have the second biggest pair down here. Would you say that's accurate?
Whoa.
And, these people are really pathetic. And I was just marveling, because Jason Spencer, Bobby and I are having a good laugh, because Jason Spencer is a legislator here now in the state of Georgia. When he was running for office, he was desperate for me to get him in touch with Bobby Franklin, desperate to talk to me. We talked several times. Couldn't wait to get down here to support Bobby. Well, on the big zero-based budgeting vote, which was passed unanimously by the House, unanimously by the Senate, vetoed by the governor, sent back to the Senate, passed unanimously, sent back to the House, where David Ralston killed it by sending it to a committee, which was against the law. It was to be immediately voted on the House floor. And Bobby Franklin was the only one who questioned the ruling of the chair. And the entire House voted against Bobby in favor of supporting David Ralston breaking the law. So I went on Jason Spencer.
Whoa. I need to interject something in here. Does that mean that the subsequent action by the legislature makes everything that they've done insofar or in regards to this particular measure void?
Well, if somebody, I think it would make everything they've done in regards to this measure void, because they've broken the law. Mm-hmm. Nobody's restraining them, and they killed the bill. And the fact that the entire House voted unanimously in favor of this legislation and then voted unanimously against Bobby enforcing the speaker to follow the law and therefore support the legislation. Mm-hmm. You see what kind of whores these are.
Well, you know what happened last year when anybody stood up to David Ralston and they lost their positions in the hierarchy, chairmanships.
That's happening this year. This year, your interview, if you wanted a chairmanship included, will you submit? Will you become a whore to the caucus leadership? Now, Jason Spencer, who is all orgasmic about Bobby Franklin and Liberty, has defriended me because of my questioning him, because he said, Jenny, now that I'm a legislator, I have to pick my battles. And I said, since when does picking your battles include becoming a perjurer to your oath of office? Because you have a responsibility to uphold the law and the state constitution, which you just violated. So what exactly is the battle you're picking? And somebody must have counseled him to cut me off, because he said that was strike two, and at strike three I was out, and I didn't make a strike three, to my knowledge. So he has now, I think, gotten rid of his open Facebook status and now has a state representative Jason Spencer site to eliminate protesting, dissension, and rabble-rousing with us little people. So I'll be informing the Tea Party of his county as to what is going on and ratting him out to his own kind. But it just amuses me, Jerry, how, it reminds me of the seed thrown on the shallow ground that bursts forth to life and then withers and dies by the afternoon.
Well, while you're... Can I interject something before we go to our first commercial break? While you're down there today, could you look into something for me? I've been told that Republican chairman of the Judiciary Non-Civil Committee there in the House, a Republican, Rich Golick, who is purportedly pro-gun, is sitting on all pro-gun measurements that are in his committee and won't let them out. Would you check into that for me?
That's right. Rich Golick. I call him Prick Golick.
Ooh. I don't know if you can go there, dear. Okay. Right. Hey, we're going to cut away to our first break. Wash our mouths out. We'll be right back.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Hi, I'm Don Wiskin, and have you ever wondered what the garlic cayenne drops could do for you? February is Heart Month, and we want you to find out just what can happen when you take the right combination of herbs designed to maintain our cardiovascular health. Purchase a 4-month supply of Extendivite drops or capsules, plus get a bonus month supply of capsules for only $125 plus shipping. That's 5 months worth of Extendivite for $25 per month. This is a Heart Month special to help get you started on your path to better health and ends February 28th. So don't be left out. Find out what Extendivite can do for you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information, 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
All right, comrades, today is going to be kind of a leftover day. We're going to spoon you out some leftover quiche, and we've got some au gratin potatoes, and we've saved back just a little bit of meatloaf. And what that means to you is we've got little factoids and tidbits that have been left over for the last couple of days. But before I get into that, I want to tell you that we have just been literally overwhelmed with the positive commentary about having Dave Champion on yesterday. And I also get messages from outside the sphere of Freedom Frenzy, people that don't even know that I'm related to the program. And some of the other stuff that I've been reading has been very, very flattering of the program and our interview of Dave Champion in particular yesterday. And I want to thank all of you that made those kind remarks. It's very gratifying. All right. Excuse me?
Sorry. Bobby was chatting a little bit in the background.
Oh, okay.
Did you want that? Did you want that information on Rich Golick?
Well, when you say information, the thing that I wanted to know was whether or not he is indeed clamping down on, was it HB6 and SB26 that are in his committee? That,
oh, yeah, and he's clamping down on more than that. He has House Bill 1, of course, to criminalize prenatal murder. He has House Bill 5, Freedom of Choice and Security Act. House Bill 8, Due Process Restoration Act. House Bill 9, Katherine Johnson's Law. House Bill 14, Criminal Law and Procedure, changed term victim to accuser, and so on and so forth. Basically, Rich Golick is sitting on 10 to 12 of Bobby Franklin's bills, 4 of Bobby Franklin's gun bills, and I think perhaps a total of 6 gun bills. He's just simply announced they will not be heard, they will not be voted on.
He's actually said that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because here's...
Well, let's give out his telephone number. I know we've got a bunch of people here that listen to the program from the state of Georgia, and maybe we can get a few of them to get into a snit and call this perpetrator who wants everybody to at least believe somehow or another that he's pro-gun. His phone number is 404-656-5943. That's 404-656-5943. Light them up, guys. Light them up, gals, because this guy is standing in the way of the restoration of your liberty here in Georgia. And, you know, we've got a lot of communists in power here in Georgia. We seem to have more than our fair share, actually. And this is a little bit going far afield from what we were talking about just now. But during supper last night, my wife and I, Elaine and I, were sitting there listening to a program on Georgia Public Broadcasting. And they had some state legislators there. Your friend, Jenny, Steve Thompson, was one of them. Mm-hmm. And they were discussing what the state needed to do in order to raise revenue in the face of this upcoming budget shortfall. Now, during the entire program, not a single one of the stuffed shirts at the conference table ever said anything about the obscene size of state government and the need to pare it back as part of any sort of financial solution.
Mm-hmm.
It's
exactly.
Like they think they can constantly reach into the cookie jar and just grab themselves a handful. Now, it strikes me that with that mindset, and here's the troubling thing. They're talking about raising all sorts of taxes, but they're also talking about undoing the sales tax exemption on food that you buy at the grocery store now, because the state can purportedly appreciate a $500 million increase in revenue. That was the number they threw out last night. I don't know if it's valid.
Now, are
or
you
not.
Talking state government?
Yes.
$500 million increase in revenue by instating a food tax?
Reinstating the sales tax on food.
Reinstating the sales tax on food. Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yes,
well,
it
that
is.
Shouldn't affect the poor in the slightest.
No, it's just
I'm being sarcastic.
You're right. Yeah, I know. I tripped over that. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a progressive tax, and it always impacts the poor more than it does anybody else.
Nah, who cares? It's just the poor.
Yeah, and you know, Steve Thompson, your buddy, actually approached that problem by saying, well, you know, it will have a slightly greater impact on those that are meagerly equipped financially.
Isn't Why do you like, keep calling Steve my buddy?
Because I'm trying to get you going.
Oh, I'm like, what? You know, the last person who said I was his buddy in a, he was given a campaign speech, and I blasted him on a well-attended YouTube and said he was no friend of mine, judging from the kinds of votes he was casting in the legislature. Now, he is a friend of mine in terms of, you know, I really like him, and I pray for him, and I pray for his repentance. He lost his bid for labor commissioner and is now not even in the state legislature with all the rest of David Ralston's horrors. But
I'm just going to tell you plainly, dear, that just like when Christ was addressing the Pharisees and Sadducees, I think we've got some people there in the Georgia legislature that are beyond repentance. That have
blasphemed the Holy Spirit? They certainly have a God complex going on over there. This morning, I thought the pastor who gave the opening address to the legislature, he focused on Psalm 1, and I thought it was a very fabulous little sermon he gave. And then he asked everybody to stand for the prayer, and then everybody stayed standing to worship the flag. I sat down at that point and enjoyed my little moment of sitting. But it's just crazy, Jerry. I mean, the insanity. Oh, and the mocking down here of Bobby Franklin. Bobby met me in front of the Coverdale Legislative Office building this morning to get my heavy bag out of my car because my back is messed up from this car wreck. And so as he was getting the bag, some legislator walked past and said, "Oh, Bobby, I see now you're even holding up traffic outside the Capitol," or some snide little comment. Mm-hmm. He walked away too quickly because I had some wonderful phrases to retort back to him. They had to stay in my brain.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what they're going to say about you being back in Georgia? You're a mercenary now, dear.
A mercenary?
Yeah, you're a mercenary now. You might not be getting any money, but you're a mercenary now. You're a hired gun.
Hired
they brought you
gun.
In from out of state to create turmoil and hate and discontent right there in the Georgia legislature. But, you know, that begs the question, are any of the groups, the power brokers that we're aware of here in the state, dear, are any of them actually putting any inertia behind Bobby's bills?
No one. Absolutely nobody is standing right with Bobby on – no organization. Bobby, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this because he's sitting right here. But nobody is standing front and center with Bobby saying, "We are pushing forward these bills and alerting the state that you are not doing your part for the home team." Now, I have not been active with Lobbyists in Life and Liberty since I moved to Texas. But that is all changing, and we are going to be being much more supportive of Bobby and also getting this legislation out in front of the country, the state legislators across the country, because Georgia is absolutely a communist country in and of itself, and mm-hmm. these messianic statists here do nothing but ridicule and mock the ideals of liberty in one accord. But it's not so sad a state in other areas, so we definitely want to get the message of freedom out, but we also need to get out the message of the people who are selling out Georgians, because, you know, Georgia is unfortunately held and duped, very duped.
Yes, and you know, dear, I've noticed in those outside streams of information that I mentioned earlier, the ones that are coming back to me that we're unaffiliated with at all, that Bobby is actually getting more national exposure for his legislative agenda, particularly the driver's license bill. That seems to have caught everybody's attention. But
yeah, I was telling Bobby that he's getting a lot more national attention than he realizes. And I think it's hard to be here day in and day out and ridiculed by absolutely everybody in your life, and certainly in the Capitol. They totally mock him and ridicule him while they're walking by. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, you know what that says, don't you, dear?
Yeah, that he's doing the right thing.
Well, not only that, though, he might be doing the right thing, but it's not being packaged properly.
Well, right. And we are going to work on packaging, because packaging is absolutely important. But it's also important to recognize the kind of vice that David Ralston is holding the entire chamber in. He mm-hmm. is ruling with an iron fist, and of course he wouldn't be able to get away with it if the legislators didn't, in one accord, say, "Bobby, let him rule with an iron fist." Because any dissent, you're going to lose your chairmanship positions, and everybody who is a chairman is absolutely in obedience to the caucus leadership and Ralston. So there is no freedom of speech within the House chamber.
Do you know how well Ralston was swept back into office this last election?
He had a pretty strong victory over the other two parties that were running.
So a recall measure in his district. Sometimes just getting something like that started is enough to make somebody come to Jesus, though.
Not this man. He's got a serious God complex. He makes our last Speaker of the House look like a wonderful guy. I kind of miss him. I think maybe I should get a bumper sticker at the back of my car. I miss Glenn Richardson.
Wow.
Maybe I should wear the sign on my back as I'm trumping through the Capitol. That would be fun.
That would. Maybe get one of those sandwich board things and go whole hog.
That'd be fun. I'd be all for that, Jerry. All right, we got to cut away to a break. Was that the end of Hit and Run News? I guess it was.
We sort of spooned out some stuff that we didn't think we were going to be spooning out there, didn't we? We're going to cut away to a break. We'll be right back.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up," protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now, 1-800-410-0739, 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
All right, comrades, we're back, and I guess that was probably one of the more obtuse hit-and-run news segments that we've ever produced. But, you know, that's freedom frenzy. Sometimes we cobble stuff together as we go, and, you know, it's like, what was it, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Well, that's sort of like freedom frenzy here. So, dear, while we were in that break, we were talking with Bobby about this Interstate Commerce Act that's been put out by the 10th Amendment Center. And it seems as though if we could get Georgia or any other state in the glorified union to pass something similar to this, that it would address at least a third of the problems that the people of America face insofar as the hegemony that the federal government tries to impose inside the state when apparently they don't have the lawful authority. Now, we're not trying to supersede the sheriff here, I don't believe, but it would add a layer of protection, an additional bulwark, if you will, to protect the people in the state from the federal government. Now, we're talking about S-510. We're talking about firearms issues. We're talking about business freedom. We're talking about walling out EPA, FCC, BATF, OSHA, all of those federal agencies that technically exist in controversy with the United States Constitution. And I want to give a little brief summary of this legislation. This bill provides that all goods grown, manufactured, or made in whatever state would be involved, and that all services performed in that state when such goods or services are sold, maintained, or retained inside said state shall not be subject to the authority of Congress, Congress of the United States, under its constitutional power to regulate commerce. And then it goes on into the specifics. One, it gives you the name. It's called the Interstate Commerce Act. And but down in the meat of the bill, it would read that whatever state, particularly the General Assembly, would declare that the 10th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States codifies in law that only the powers which the federal government may exercise are those that have been delegated to it in the Constitution of the United States. And see, I think that's a line in the sand that really needs to be drawn, and it needs to be something more than a resolution. The 9th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States guarantees to the people rights not enumerated in the Constitution and reserves to the people of that particular state those rights. To continue, under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 of the Constitution of the United States, the federal government is empowered to regulate commerce among the several states. And we all know that even in that light, it's been perverted to no end. The power to regulate interstate commerce is reserved to the states or to the people under the 9th and 10th Amendments to the Constitution. And during the Constitutional Convention, the founders considered a plan which would have authorized the federal government to not only regulate commerce among the several states, but also any activity having spillover effects, and that's what we're talking about right now, across state lines, and they rejected it uncategorically. All goods grown, manufactured, or made in whatever state, and all services performed in whatever state, when such goods or services are sold, maintained, or retained in that state, shall not be subject to the authority of Congress under its constitutional power. These are things that we the people need to start pressuring our state legislators and legislatures about. And you know, that's where the power is, folks. It's not in Washington, D.C. I don't care how many times you send tens of thousands of people, millions of people to Washington, D.C., even if they do a good job of cleaning up after themselves, it's not going to impact what's going on up there. The locus of power is at the state capitals. And you know what? I hate to keep badgering at the people on this particular point, but there is where your power has the most impact. And I'm going to tell you that if you're talking about replicating what they've done in Egypt, it would be far simpler to bring your state government to a grinding halt financially than it would be the federal government. When you do that, you would certainly get their attention. And you know what, folks? I'm preaching financial revolution here, and it sounds marvelous to me. I hope it does to you. Back to you, dear.
We do have this bill in Georgia. It's House Bill 879 that Bobby Franklin put forward, and it is called the State Authority and Intrastate Commerce Act, which, of course, is being killed by the Republicans here, along with all of the rest of Bobby's legislation. They just simply mock him and the ideals of liberty. So I think what we need to be cognizant of is, you know, we're sending people to our legislatures that talk the big talk, but even like in the case of Jason Spencer, when the rubber hits the road, they are absolutely going to bend to wherever the pressure is greatest. Bobby is the exception to that rule, but most people are not. They just bend to wherever the pressure is greatest. So we have to make sure we are the greatest pressure. I hear the music.
Yes, you do, and you're not singing, so I guess that means I've got to tell everybody we're going to cut away to a break. Go grab a cup of coffee. Come back. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling Total Transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Shocking, terrifying, but very truthful and revealing. Finally, a documentary on the horrifying results of unopposed estrogen. Estrogen dominance. Are we writing our own epitaph? I urge you to go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner and watch the documentary, The Disappearing Male. To my knowledge, this is the first documentary about the threat that unopposed estrogen poses to our survival as a species. It's a real eye-opener. But the documentary gives no solution to the problem. We have the solution. If we don't get the progesterone message to the younger generation, especially the young women, our very survival is in jeopardy. Again, that website is www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner. After viewing, please visit our website, www.healthlinkamerica.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, comrades, we're back, and we do have a caller in the queue, and according to the information on the screen that I'm looking at, it says it's Frank from South America. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Jerry.
What you got for us?
I was just wondering a little bit about to manufacture firearms, et cetera, inside a state, and then not transport them outside. A number of very, very strange and wonderful ideas occur to me.
Mm-hmm.
First, I hate to play the federal government side, but go ahead and build them. Where did you get the metal? Did it come across the state line? Where was it smelted? Where was it machined? And conversely,
I think that that's a perversion. That's just a continuance and an expansion of the perversion of the current interpretation of the Commerce Clause.
Yeah, okay. But I think it's a valid interpretation.
How can a perverted interpretation be valid?
I think my question is valid in that they will misinterpret it however they have to make it stick.
And I suppose the devil is in the details. And I would think that if we in a fair hearing, and I know we're talking about going into federal court asking for our mother-in-law to treat us very, very nicely in the divorce proceedings, and we really shouldn't expect that. And you know, that is something that ought to be growing in awareness in the American people's psyche, that the entire system is stacked against them. It's like going into a gambling house that you know every game in the building is remarkably stacked against you. Not just the normal, the house is typically going to come out ahead, like when you go to Atlantic City or Las Vegas.
Jerry, let me jump in here because I want to get Bobby Franklin to respond to this issue. And so I'm just going to hand the mic over to Bobby. Go ahead, Bobby.
Thanks, Jenny. Jerry, it's great being with you. I think an issue, and the reason I did not reintroduce House Bill 879 this year is because of that very issue that your caller raises. Is it the underlying premise is that the federal government does have constitutional authority to dictate and prohibit commerce if it crosses state lines, which, of course, as you just alluded to, they do not. The term regulate interstate commerce, as it's found in the Constitution, just meant to make it regular, to mm-hmm. make sure commerce did proceed among the states without interference.
Or artificial barriers being erected between the states.
Exactly. So, mm-hmm. So the idea of a Interstate Commerce Act still keeps in place that misapplication of the Commerce Clause. So that's why I did not reintroduce that. And since it's also redundant to House Bill 21, the Anti-Racketeering Act, which arrests any Fed or even a multinational or international police officer for trying to enforce something other than one of the five constitutionally recognized categories of crimes that the states authorized the feds to have jurisdiction over.
Mm-hmm. That's why, Bobby, I thought it was important to read that one particular clause out of this Interstate Commerce Act, where it draws attention to the fact that the original intent of the founders was not to regulate all of the spillover activities across state lines. In fact, they uncategorically rejected that insofar as making that a federal power.
Well, one thing, too, if I may just jump in, is I think the best constitutional argument against what they're currently doing and how they're currently perverting the Commerce Clause is the 18th Amendment. If Congress had the authority to do anything over and above the Article 1, Section 8, they would have never have proposed, or the states would have never ratified, the 18th Amendment prohibiting the sale of alcohol. There would have been no need for it if their what they're telling us
that's
about
right.
Commerce is true.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
Wow, that's an interesting argument. I've never really thought about that one before. New mental chew toy from Bobby Franklin, only on Freedom Frenzy.
Cool.
So what do you think, Frank? Have we addressed your argument?
Yeah, I think his approach to it was quite in your comment that the devil is in the details, because it's the details that always get us screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we start trying to redefine words or to completely erroneously define words, it all goes down the drain. It's the same
are
thing.
Are we the ones that are doing that, or do we allow the government to continually do that?
Well, we're allowing it to happen, and we are supporting the mob rule that is currently in force in the United States, masquerading as democracy.
Yeah, which in and of itself is not a good thing. Democracy is not a good thing.
Democracy gives
me the people of Egypt are about to find that out the hard way.
Yep.
You know, they're not going to find out anytime soon, because Egypt's military has declared martial law. Do you hear about that? They're not going to be experiencing the communist.
Maybe that's why Ahmed hasn't called us back today, dear.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they shut down the internet. Yikes. Something wicked this way comes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, is that all you have for us today, Frank?
Yeah. Unless you want to talk about money for just a second. I was actually shocked when 2000 came by and the United States didn't completely divorce itself from all currency and give everybody a bank card. But now that that didn't happen, it seems to me that reducing the currency to its own fractional value, for example, $1 becomes one penny, a $10 bill becomes a dime, $20 bill becomes a 20-cent piece, which is an old actual U.S. currency form, and then you start printing $5,000 and $10,000 bills to represent 50 and hundreds. It can take and melt down all coins. There are no coins, therefore there is no counterfeiting. The law says, the Constitution says to coin money.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say anything at all about printing it.
Oh, I recognize that argument because I use it a lot myself. And the devaluation, and that's really what you're talking about, the devaluation of the currency, it's going to come about. As a matter of fact, it's happening around us right now, and it's going to be done on a de facto basis, and the government doesn't even need to step in. And insofar as recognizing... But I don't think that they're going to do what you've suggested, Frank, because they really don't want to draw any more attention to the failure of the system until it's way too late. And most Americans simply do not recognize. I got involved in a message board last night on Yahoo where people were bandying about the discussion of South Carolina looking at creating its own money in preparation for the Federal Reserve note becoming worthless. And the idiotic comments that were made by literally thousands of people, it actually got down to the point where I was getting scared for America. Because if these people represent the intellectual capacity of America, quite frankly, we are screwed. And the conflict, the chaos, and the collapse needs to come, and it needs to come pretty damn quick.
Dude, Jerry.
Silver and gold are not going up in value. The dollar is going down.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I keep emphasizing that. Every time I do a transaction in Federal Reserve notes, I like to emphasize the fact that I'm paying in Federal Reserve notes and that the value of them continues to plummet to the cashier. You know, the one time I tried using silver to pay for groceries, the manager came over and I was in the process of being accused of using counterfeit money. America today. That's awesome. All right, Frank. Well, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Frank.
Bye. So, Jerry, didn't you have some leftovers from yesterday that you wanted to bring forward today?
I've got a bunch of stuff. How far we got before we go to a break? I've got one story here that I've been wanting to actually cover, but it's a runner, dear. A combination of natural calamities and congressional mandates have come together to drive world food prices to levels that make some governments in developing nations quite nervous, because higher costs can result in political instability. And I think what we're seeing unfold in the sandbox over there is perfect evidence of that. The toll on American grocery carts thus far has been relatively low, but analysts say that price increases are already in the pipeline. And you know, a lot of the producers of food didn't want to shove price increases into the pipeline because they recognize that because of the economic quagmire we're in, were relatively price sensitive. So their countermeasures have been to reduce packaging or portion sizes instead, and thus slipping that price increase in on you. Now, with reduced packaging sizes and portions, they're still going to be forced to send through price increases, and this is going to be across the board. The message here is get ready for higher food prices, which appear to be just around the corner for U.S. consumers and potentially will turn into a crippling burden for the world's poor. Now, I think we need to talk about some of the causes here so you'll understand where this is coming from. And the immediate causes are quite clear. We've had bad harvests due to drought in Russia, China, and Argentina, as well as floods in Australia. But a longer-term cause...
Hey, Jerry!
Yes?
You can't just say bad harvest, because the bad harvest in a lot of these areas is because these countries have been forced... by their governments, working in coercion with Monsanto, to use genetically modified seed, which requires much more water, much more herbicide and pesticide than regular seed, is much more expensive to produce, and the yields are much, much lower. So if you're in a drought condition and you're using genetically modified seed, your yields will be much worse than using indigenous seed.
Well, certainly, and that is an attendant consideration, dear, but, you know, we're talking about global issues here and drought, of course, and the floods. That's something that wouldn't necessarily come into play with Monsanto, but I kind of figured you were going to say something. But a longer-term cause may come as a surprise to most Americans. Jenny, did you realize that 24% of the American corn crop now goes to the production of ethanol for gasoline?
Wow. I hope it's the genetically modified part of the corn crop.
It may very well be. And, you know, we might have our engines and our cars may be morphing into something entirely different. At any rate, this use of corn, this 24% of the United States production of corn, is not only taking slack out of the world food supply, creating market turbulence and making price shocks all the more likely. Add to that the lower than expected corn yields last year, and according to the United States Department of Agriculture figures out just last Wednesday, U.S. reserves of field corn, and that's the corn that gets used to make the ethanol, are at the lowest levels that they've been in 15 years. The demand for corn to be devoted to ethanol is now at 4.9 billion bushels per year. Corn prices have almost doubled as a result, and that's from $3.49 a bushel in July of last year up to $6.10 a bushel just this past January. Corn futures, contracts to buy corn at a given price in the future, as of last Wednesday, were at $6.90 a bushel. Daryl Good, an agricultural economist at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and when I don't know what happened there, because when I grew up in Illinois, it was Champaign-Urbana. Maybe somebody can call in and tell us. Tells us that, ominously, we're going to be going into next year's harvest, that's 2011's harvest, with literally no surplus inventory at all. So the crop that's produced by the American farmer this coming growing season will prove to be extremely critical. We got some callers, but I need to work through this. Ephraim Leaptag, a USDA food economist, tells us that for Americans, there are definitely indications that point to higher prices. But to this point, we've not seen a major impact. However, meat, dairy, and eggs are primarily dependent on feed prices and are subsequently less shielded from surges in commodities going up as a result of demand pressures. The USDA is predicting rises in the food price index for 2011 of 3.5% to 4.5% for pork products, 2.5% to 3.5% for beef, 2.5% to 3.5% for eggs, and 4.5% to 5.5% for dairy products. One can only wonder if these estimates of rising food prices are solely based on the conditions of supply and demand, or if elements within their immediate scope of concern, Or if they factor in the additionally devastating impact of the declining purchasing power of the fiat money. I'm thinking that the ravages of monetary inflation have probably been left out of those calculations. But there's more, there's another more important factor that deserves our attention. The United States is, in fact, the world's largest producer of field corn at 13 billion bushels a year. Sweet corn, the corn on the cob that we all like to eat, is less than 1% of that total corn crop that's produced every year. Since 2005, a steadily rising portion of the country's field corn has actually been devoted to ethanol production. Fuel blenders are now obligated under the 2007 Energy Independence and Security Act, or ESA, to mix a certain amount of eligible biofuels into the gasoline that they sell. The blenders receive a tax credit of 45 cents per gallon for the ethanol that they add. For corn-based biofuel. Yep.
Jeffrey, that's crazy.
You're telling me. That's why I thought this was so interesting. For corn-based biofuel, such as ethanol, the current mandate under ESA is 12.6 billion gallons, which increases to 15 billion in 2015 and will remain at that level unless Congress raises it. At this year's level, 39% of the U.S. corn field corn production goes to gasoline substitute production. A third of that, however, comes back into the food supply as distiller's grain, by a byproduct of ethanol production, which can be added back to animal feed, bringing the total of corn grown redirected to fuel production down to that previously cited 24%. Corn farmers dispute the connection between high prices and ethanol. More corn is being grown per acre, they say, thanks to technology in the seed and practices on the farm. This is according to Bart Schott, president of the National Corn Growers Association. Instead, Mr. Schott points at speculation in commodity markets, corrupt foreign regimes, currency fluctuation, hoarding by other countries, and, of course, the weather to explain the rising food prices, which tells me that nobody's considering the decline in purchasing power of the money. But that's it, babe. That's the sum total of that piece.
I think we just flew through the break.
Did we just fly through a break? Wow. Or we're in one right now. Help us out, Manny.
The system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. Oh, we skipped the break.
Oh, okay. Well,
so we can keep on yakking. Jerry, I need you to send me that information that you just gave out because I'm teaching that class today on genetically modified organisms and agriculture in Georgia and so on and so forth.
Give me a fax number then.
You can't email it?
No, dear. I printed it out. It's a compilation. I can fax it. Give me Bobby's fax number, and I'll get Elaine to fax it up there to you.
All right. I will get the fax number. You know, Jerry, you ought to start keeping these files on
your... You only ask me about the ones I print out, dear. Isn't that weird?
It is weird. There's our perfect karma when we need it.
Oh, golly.
Fascinating stuff. And Bobby Franklin was telling me that ethanol being blended into these fuels, it actually destroys your fuel pump and deteriorates your engine.
Yeah, when it goes over 10%, I've read those things, those same things myself. And, you know, ultimately they're going to try to get it up to 18%.
Isn't the 45 cent tax credit, that's kind of an interesting thing here because I know that we're paying over 50 cents a gallon in fuel tax every time we go to the pump.
Mm-hmm.
So this transfer of money yo-yoing around is just insane.
Well, they're trying to give the incentive for more and more people to go into the production of ethanol. That's what that 45 cent a gallon tax incentive thing is all about. But it really the government's screwing around in the marketplace again, and it always has a negative end result. And we can expect that that's going to be the outcome here.
You know, it's people have got to see the conspiracy here against the people of America. They are absolutely driving us to death. Literally, the way of the wicked leads to death, because the food crisis internationally that continues to escalate as genetically modified seed escalates, then forcing the use of ethanol in America, where we're sitting on a stockpile of oil, natural resource like oil, mm-hmm. And all the different taxes and the trading hands of funds and tax credits and so on and so forth. I mean, this is insanity.
Yeah, just imagine what they could be doing if they were devoting subsidized funds to developing the oil riches that the United States has.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But they're never going to. Big government in bed with corporations, that they've kind of a big evil entity. Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed at all to some sort of collaboration between government and the corporate state to simply get access to that huge amount of energy that's lying up under the ground here in America.
Ooh, hiss, Jerry. Come on now.
If it were a limited duration thing just to simply get the process started, I think
that is an impossibility.
Well, maybe, but we got to do something, and we're certainly doing all the wrong things now. If we're going to do something, let's at least devote our resources to doing something that has a more positive outcome.
Well, let's, I think the resources, apart from the government, getting the government out of it. And usually, you know, when the Republicans talk about deregulation, what they mean by that is letting big corporations use the civil sword to advance their personal interests without being inhibited on any level mm-hmm. by civil servants, if we can use that term very loosely.
But you know, the outside lane here, dear, is the fact that it may not matter for much longer. It really may not. We're starting to see the repatriation of money coming, you know, the Federal Reserve notes that we've exported in the process of exporting our inflation here in America. They're starting to come back home to roost and in large measure. And when that happens, I think that this inflation thing that we've talked about is going to come off the rails. I really do. And we're going to see, and I hate to say it, but I really do foresee this happening, Weimar Republic, you know, in Germany, we're going to see that kind of impact.
The problem is that as the empire collapses, Jerry, these tax structures don't collapse at the same rate. Just like when the Roman Empire collapsed, people were living under extreme duress from local taxing entities and local government entities and the bureaucratic structure that was thriving all over the dismantled empire. And this continued for more than one generation, appallingly enough. So I think our enthusiasm for watching the empire fall apart, we need to recognize that we got to get control of the locality now because these structures are not going to dismantle only as a result of the central structure dismantling.
Well, I think you're talking about the difference of relative speed here. And you know, in the Roman Empire, they slowly were debasing the coins that they were using. And in Germany, they didn't do that slowly. It happened almost along the lines of being meteoric, like what's going on here in America. And I suspect that the outcome is probably going to be something remarkably more rapid than cool. than